It's Friday, and you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Good morning,
Father. Good morning.
How
are
you?
Good morning. Wonderful.
We haven't seen each other in a while.
It seems like forever.
We have some catching up to do, so how about after our opening prayer this morning?
Sounds great.
All right.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and for all of your blessings, both those that we have received and those that we will receive throughout this day. We ask, O Lord, that you bless this time together, bless our conversations, bless all of our day, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
So we didn't have a show last week because it was the Sacred Heart Radio Hour. But here we are. So fill us in. What have you been doing? What have you been up to? We haven't heard from you.
Ah, well, this was a very great week.
It was?
It's been, yeah. So Monday, November 4th, was my birthday. Yeah.
Oh, your birthday just passed.
It just passed,
so,
yes.
Before the show, I told Father Adam that I was going to have all of the listeners sing to him. And he got very emphatic and he said, that's rude. And I didn't understand.
You can only sing happy birthday when it's the person's actual birthday.
Whose rule is that?
It's just a
birthday police?
It's a generally accepted rule.
Made up
yeah.
rule so
yeah,
that we don't sing to you?
Generally okay. accepted rule.
All right.
But anyway, it's also my mother's birthday, November 4th. I was born on my mother's 44th birthday.
Were you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are many, many birthdays in the second and third week of November. Did you know that? Do you
yeah.
know why?
Why?
Because 9 months ago was Valentine's Day.
Ah, interesting.
How about
interesting.
That? Yeah. You know why I know that? Because my husband, his birthday is November 14th. He was adopted. We don't know much about his mm-hmm. birth or his parents, but we know that 9 months before he was born was Valentine's Day. So,
well,
sorry,
great.
Did things just get awkward?
Well, interesting. Yeah, very interesting. So, but you know, so I've always kind of considered my birthday like a sign of the Lord's great providence that I was born on my mom's birthday. But this year, I was definitely reminded of the Lord's blessing. You know, like there's this truth that, you know, which sounds kind of selfish, but that the Lord loves us, each of us, as if we are the only person in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this sort of great love for us and a particular love for each of us. So my birthday is always an experience of that, but this year even more so. So the Saturday before my birthday, the Lord gave me a wonderful present.
Okay.
I was out hunting and I got an 8-point buck. And from that, 95 pounds of venison.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm super confused because you can get a buck 2 days before your birthday, and it counts as a birthday buck, but I can't sing happy birthday to you after your birthday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? You are making up birthday rules.
It's all right. You know, sometimes you can give presents early. So
You know what?
Yeah.
No.
But then, even more so, the Lord gave me another great present.
Okay.
So, on my actual birthday, one of my favorite musicians, an artist, was in town, and I was able to go see him, Bob Dylan.
Wait
November
a minute.
November 4th.
This just occurred to me. I spoke with you on your birthday. And I didn't know it was your birthday.
And that would have been the time to sing happy birthday.
Which is why you didn't tell me it was your birthday.
You missed your opportunity.
You are the sneaky birthday police. Well, I have to you know what? I think I had a good week too, but I think I'm a really bad dog owner. I think this is what it all is being revealed to me, because a few weeks ago I shared with our listeners how my Rhodesian Ridgeback Luna ingested an entire dog toy, and it was a doggy emergency room visit and everything. Last week I got home and my dog Felix, my Guatemalan street dog Felix, had eaten an entire, you know, those Saints bracelets.
Oh yeah.
With the links, the wooden links. Well, I say an entire, he left four of the links. Four of the Saints he did not ingest.
Mm.
And so I was really pondering this. Do you want to know who were they?
Yeah.
He did not swallow St. Joseph and the child Jesus. He did not swallow John the Baptist. He did not swallow the miraculous medal Mary. and he did not swallow the divine mercy, Jesus.
Interesting.
Well, who were the ones that
he did swallow?
Francis, Padre Pio, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the guardian angel, the sacred. There were quite a few. But
interesting.
I think the reason, so I spent way too much time like reflecting on this and pondering this and analyzing this. But I think the reason that I was analyzing it is because last week my husband and I went to see Father Vincent Lampert at St. Catherine. He's the official exorcist for the Diocese of Indianapolis. It was a fabulous talk. The church was packed. I mean, it was so, so good. And we really didn't want to go because we were afraid it was just going to be like sensational and terrifying and all of those things. But Father Lampert did such an amazing, he talked about extraordinary demonic activity in the world. Mm-hmm. And he talked about ordinary demonic activity. And he talked about the gateways and he talked about, but his focus truly was on the remedy, on the solution, on Jesus Christ. It was so well done. He told just enough stories to terrify you and to really put you on this sort of heightened awareness and alertness, as evidenced by the fact that I was analyzing why my dog didn't ingest these certain images. But you left feeling scared, but also feeling very hopeful and feeling like, all right, this is, we're not hopeless to the devil. We have the solution. We have the remedy. And he talked a lot about faith. So it was fabulous. We're so glad we went. So, and I think my dog is fine. Plus he's from Guatemala, so he's Catholic, right? He's good.
Yeah. I don't know. You know,
that's what I mean,
think a good Catholic wouldn't be eating bracelets. So,
okay.
It seems like you need to do something to restrain your dogs though.
Well, or just, leave things where they can eat. But why would I think he would eat that? Why would you eat that?
Well, you know, I mean, dogs are irrational.
Yeah,
so,
they are. All right. What do we have coming up this morning, Father Adam?
Well, Father Nick Droll from Scioto County is joining us.
You know, are you on Twitter? You're not on Twitter.
No.
So I was stalking Father Nick Droll, just Googling to prepare. And I'm not on Twitter either, but his Twitter feed came up. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you're on Twitter and you're not following Father Nick Droll, you must do it. He mostly retweets, but everything is either very, very poignant and profound or very, very hilarious. Yes. So
yeah, he's a funny man.
It's a treat. I got lost. I actually wasted a lot of time following Father Nick Droll on Twitter. So.
And then we also have Jenna Zins from the development office.
Yeah, the events coordinator. But she hasn't been there for long. It's a new position.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to her. What's our theme this morning?
We're focusing, of course, you know, we try to base these themes on the Sunday Gospel, which this Sunday, which we'll talk about later, the Sunday Gospel is on the resurrection of the dead. But with that in mind, kind of looking at things in a new way, sort of new approaches. Maybe we might use the word innovation, and as disciples, how approaching things in a new way is really, I think, a crucial part of being a follower of Christ. We see things in new ways now.
Okay, but before we get to any of that, we want to bring the service that is so important to our listeners, the traffic and weather priest. How's it looking out there, Father Adam?
Well, just a reminder that our traffic and weather this month is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers, Saint Acacius, whose feast day is May the 7th, is your patron for the protection against headaches.
Saint Acacius.
It feels like 17 degrees out there. It's actually 22. We're going to have a high of 38, but it's going to be nice and sunny. So,
are you sugarcoating it? 38 sunny.
I think 38's great. It's great. That's. I mean, it is. It is sort of seasonably cold, or unseasonably cold. So, traffic. It's a mess out there, especially I-71. There have been some accidents north of 270, so a lot of delays there. In fact, it was shut down and is still shut down. US 23 South is an alternative route, but of course that's backing up as well. So there's going to be delays if you're coming from the north into Columbus.
And I'm told there are people we probably need to be praying for in those traffic situations.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So don't forget, when you're frustrated with traffic, that there's probably somebody who could use your prayers rather than your frustrations.
And remember always to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
All right. Today is Friday, November 8th. Anything exciting in Catholic history
today?
There's
a lot that happened today.
Okay.
In 397, St. Martin de Tours, St. Martin of Tours, died. Of course, his feast day we celebrate is November the 11th.
Why don't we celebrate his feast day today? Do we know the answer to that? Or that's one
That's a good question. I don't know for sure.
Huh. Okay.
But, of course, you know, I always found that interesting, is St. Martin of Tours was a soldier. And we celebrate his feast day on November the 11th, which is Veterans Day.
Oh, huh.
So it's a happy it's sort of a happy instance, you know. In 1342, Julian of Norwich, the mystic, was born this day. In 1897, Dorothy Day was born today.
Big day, November 8th.
Yeah. Also in 1605... the ringleaders of the gunpowder plot were executed. Now, you may not be familiar with the gunpowder plot, but this was an alleged attempt by Catholics to blow up the parliament in England, although it doesn't seem like it was a real attempt. It was made up for anti-Catholic propaganda.
Well,
They nonetheless got executed. So,
yeah, I'm sure everybody already knew that anyway. So the gunpowder plot. Okay, yeah. So there you go. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on St. Gabriel Radio with Katie and Father Adam, and we're bringing you information like that all the time.
They're
just enhancing your world vision, your worldview. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I think, do we have Father Nick Droll on the line? Oh my goodness, I'm so excited, except I can't find my headphones. They're in my lap. Okay.
On your lap.
You can't see that because it's radio, but... Father Droll, are you there?
Yes, hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. We're so happy to have you this morning.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. You're struggling with your headphones on the radio, and it all works out because my mother tells me I have a face made for radio. So.
Perfect.
I would agree with your mother.
It's a popular opinion these days.
Yeah. Father Droll, I was just telling all of our listeners who are on Twitter that they need to follow you.
Well, I appreciate that. I've never really thought of it, but I guess, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, is use all the means we have available to us for the new evangelization.
It's kind of
Twitter to me is just more of a hobby, but I guess who we are is reflected in that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Pope Benedict, you know, he calls it the digital continent. And just like the Americas needed missionaries, so also the digital continent does. So maybe that's part of your apostolate.
There you go.
I'll take it.
The witness of Twitter.
Hey, yeah. we like to play a game with our priest of the week. Are you up for a little game?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to switch it up this week. We have a brand new game. It's called True or False.
Okay.
Guess how it works.
I guess true or false.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we're going to do this for 1 minute, and you get a point for every question you get correct.
Okay.
And you don't lose any points because it's Catholic radio.
I promise not to Google anything.
Oh, yeah. You won't have time. It's lightning. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yep.
True or false? Going out with wet hair increases your chances of catching a cold.
False.
Correct. Russia has a larger surface area than Pluto.
True.
Correct. An octopus has 3 hearts.
False.
Wrong. For every human on Earth, there are 1.6 million ants.
True.
That is true. There are more, this one's for my mom, there are more fake flamingos on Earth than real ones.
True.
That is true. Cracking your knuckles too much will give you arthritis.
False.
Correct. Oxford University is older than the Aztec Empire.
False.
No, it's true.
Oh, my.
I'll tell you more about that later. Chewing gum takes a person 7 years to digest.
False.
That is false. The Great Wall of China can be seen with the unaided eye from space.
False.
It is false. Bananas grow on trees.
False.
My gosh, you are so smart.
I like to think of myself as a pretty smart guy, but...
do you really know how many points you got? This is.
I think I got a couple wrong in there, but...
Well, an octopus does have three hearts.
Oh, okay.
And Oxford University, supposedly, was founded in 1249 and the Aztec Empire in 1329.
Well, that's interesting. Wow. We tend to... draw a sharp line between European and American, early American history like that.
That's a good point. Speaking of points, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. Points.
Again, as I said during the spirit drive, as long as I beat Father Schmidt, that's really.
He hasn't played yet.
These particular rivalries. Yeah. even beat Dury.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it was a different game, so we can't compare apples to oranges. But
yeah. Right, yeah, different questions. That is true.
We'll have to get Father Schmidt on here and see if he can take you down.
Very good.
So, Father, where are you at these days? Where's your assignment?
So I am assigned as the parochial administrator of three parishes in Western Scioto County. That's Our Lady of Sorrows in West Portsmouth, Ohio, Our Lady of Lourdes in Otway, Ohio, and Most Holy Trinity at Pond Creek.
Excellent. Oh, that keeps you busy, I'm sure.
Yeah, it keeps me hobby. These parishes are very small. So I don't have a parochial vicar. I'm the only priest here on the west side of Scioto County. If the parishes were much bigger, I think I would need help of some kind. But it's they're small to the point that having only one priest is manageable, really. Yeah.
What's your normal schedule each day?
Well, we have daily mass every day, of course. And that with between the three parishes that rotates, right? So depends on which parish I'm going to, and usually there's more than that to do at that particular location, right? So if I'm going to say Holy Trinity, well, I'll go deal with some Holy Trinity issues while I'm there, and that sort of thing. So yeah, and then. A lot of time, I spend some time doing some catechesis for some young people who are eager to receive the sacraments, which gives me great hope.
Great.
Other than that, there's a lot of things they don't teach you in seminary, you know, with regard to plumbing and all different kind of practical matters. But that does take some time. So I'd say, you know, administration, business matters and things of that sort.
Wait, so do you like look up how to fix plumbing on YouTube and stuff like that? Or...
I may have. Yeah.
Yeah. What did we do before YouTube?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We had to buy books, I think.
I don't have a whole lot of confidence in my own ability to actually fix things. I had a good example of that. I had a couple of weeks ago, I thought I fixed the sound system at one of my parishes. Oh. I did not fix the sound system. I made it worse.
Yeah, if you're not a sound guy, you don't ever mess with the sound system. Yeah, everybody knows that.
That is something of a sacred thing to Catholics.
To sound people, anyway.
Yeah, one wise priest I know, he said, I wish I had two dials in every pew that weren't hooked up to anything, one for the sound system and one for the... furnace. People could adjust it and just feel better about it.
Our topic today is innovation, and of course, the creativity that is required for pastoral work and evangelization. And of course, changes. People don't deal well with changes.
Yeah.
How do you deal with new approaches in your parishes and and dealing with helping people to kind of ease into change?
Yeah, I think that is certainly something that we face, and I would say one faces that in just about any parish, right? There's something about human nature that is kind of resistant to change. But outlining, I think a good place to start is just outlining the end goal, right? You know, where are we going? What is this change going to accomplish? Where are we headed with it? And, you know, incremental implementation, if possible. That isn't always possible, but it is sometimes, right? I think a good example I might give would be in my parishes, we're using, this will be our third year, with it, but we're using a kind of a newer missal in the pews called the Ignatius Pew Missal, and it has musical notation that folks may not be familiar with, right? It's the church's ancient musical notation for chant, and it has there for each Sunday Mass the entrance antiphon and the communion antiphon, again, conveyed with that older, less familiar musical notation. So we started doing that. We started doing the entrance antiphon, and we're sort of growing that as time goes on. We're using more and more of the chant from the church's liturgical patrimony in our sacred worship. So I think, you know, that kind of incremental implementation, but also I went to great lengths to at least try to explain to the people that this is what the church would like for us to do, particularly coming out of the Second Vatican Council. We see that chant has pride of place in the church's liturgy.
So small changes over time, and mm-hmm. then also keeping everyone in the loop. Those are
yep.
That's
yep.
so fascinating, that example you gave. Well, first of mm-hmm. all, let me reset for our listeners. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we're talking right now to Father Nick Droll, who is in Scioto County. And if you're in Scioto County, you're listening on 88.3 FM. So thank you for joining us. But Father Droll, it's fascinating. We're talking about innovation and the new evangelization, mm-hmm. and the example you gave is an ancient practice mm-hmm. of our faith, and
yeah.
somehow this is innovative again.
Yeah, I think it is certainly when we look at least what's commonly done at Catholic parishes around our country. Anyhow, not many places are using antiphons. We'll call them the antiphons or the entrance introit or the communion antiphon, but yet that is what that is the more ancient way to approach the church's liturgy, at least from the musical point of view. So, but then again, even among those parishes that are probably doing the entrance antiphon or other ones, they're probably not looking at four staff noom square note notation.
Which is beautiful
to look
at. But
that's what's in our missal. So,
yeah.
And it works. I would say most people in the pews don't know how to read music, you know, standard notation music anyway. It's just kind of that visual of up and down and left to right and that sort of thing.
I would say most priests in the sanctuary also don't know how to read music.
I wish some wouldn't try to read music.
Well, I think this is something I'm seeing in lots of different parishes.
Yeah.
In the liturgy, we're kind of reclaiming the traditional liturgy, but outside of liturgy, our church is really embracing technology, innovation.
Sure.
I mean, it's really been encouraging to see that the two can peacefully coexist.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. And I think that there's a certain wisdom to Mother Church's long reach into human history there, right? You know, there's always been that, I won't say tension, but there's always been that sort of dance between the embrace of those technologies that can help us and the gospel, you know,
right.
The gospel message. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Father.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope to do it again sometime.
It's always a hoot to have you. So.
Hey, thanks, Father. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We're going to take a break, so don't go away.
Trains of thought. What a perfect phrase for the things that happen inside your head. You can't stop a train, but you can decide if you're going to get off or on. All too often, our trains of thought are negative. Call it evolution. I think the cavemen who got really upset when they were almost eaten by a saber-toothed tiger and they kept thinking about it all day, they were probably more likely to survive than the cavemen who were really good at smelling the flowers. But either way, when you find yourself on a negative thought train, do yourself a favor and just get off. You don't have to trust your strongest feelings and darkest ideas. Do you really think you're going to find the answer to your problems by exploring every car on that noisy train? You won't. Let it go by. Choose silence. We have a God who speaks in the whispering wind, who leads us in the silence, and who called himself the Prince of Peace. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man, but there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have just been talking to Father Nick Droll from Scioto County. That was a fun conversation.
Wonderful time.
And we are looking forward to our second half of the show, where we will be speaking with Jenna Zins, who's the events coordinator for the Diocesan Office of Development. So you'll want to stick around for that for sure. But before we get into that, Father Adam, do you have an update for us on traffic and weather?
Yes. Well, traffic and weather is brought to us this week by the 14 Holy Helpers. Weather, of course, we're standing right now at 22 degrees. We're going to have a high of 38 today, but nice and sunny. Traffic, as No real updates other than the fact that I-71, it's starting to improve north of 270, but there's still a lot of delays and slowdown there. And then, of course, 23 north of 270, a lot of delays, I think mainly because people have shifted from I-71 that way. So it's going to be slow if you're coming from the north down into Columbus.
All right.
As always, we remind you to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
And if you don't have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, why not, right? Come by the station
unless
and get one.
Unless you can't represent us well.
Actually, I do have to say my husband was going to put one on his car, and I told him he wasn't allowed to. So there are those people. You know who you are. So today our topic is kind of innovative evangelization. Is that a way to summarize it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Innovation in general. Yeah. You know.
So you picked a very appropriate catechism topic for our Catechism Minute, because there's really been no more innovative event
than
in the
resurrection
history
of Jesus Christ.
The resurrection. That was innovative right there.
So we're from the section on the life of Christ and his mysteries, we look at the resurrection, and in particular, paragraphs 642 through 646. Now, there, in those paragraphs, I wanted to kind of hit upon two themes. First of all, in 242, in 642 and 643, the shock of the disciples. So, you know, the disciples are really in some sense, surprised by the resurrection of Christ. Yeah, he had been mentioning it throughout his public ministry, but it comes to them as something new and something almost unexpected.
Because they couldn't have envisioned, I mean, even though he was telling them about it, they couldn't have envisioned exactly what he was saying. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and precisely the resurrection, you know, it transcends our human experience. You know, it goes beyond what we would normally expect.
Right.
And that's the second part that we want to hit, is that the resurrection is something really new. And renewing, we would add, but something new. So, you know, Jesus, there were several people that he brought back to life throughout his public ministries. But those people then would go on to die or to, you know, to live a normal human life, but then eventually die. But of course, Christ's resurrection is something even new, you know, newer than that, something quite different than those experiences. He shares in this glory now. And manifest this glory. But even with that, and it, I think it kind of touches upon what we talked with Father Droll about, is it's still the same body. So the wounds are still there, but it is glorified and risen, and that there is a newness about it. And not just any newness, but like a newness that's never been seen before. And so there is this sense that in the life of the church, we take the old and we make it new. You know, we renew it.
And we'll get to reflect on that a little bit more, too, as we talk about the gospel for the coming Sunday.
Yes.
Later in the hour. Yes. We're not going to get there yet, but something to keep in the back of your mind as we approach that. There's no specific saint on the general Roman calendar today, right?
There aren't, but there are two wonderful blesseds of the church today.
All right.
The first is Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, who lived from 1880 to 1906. So she's a near contemporary, about the same time as Saint Therese.
You know, when I look at that, that's my grandfather was born, I think, in like late 1800s, maybe early 90s. I mean, she was a contemporary of my grandpa.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So, but also like Saint Therese, she was a Carmelite too, and she was French. Now, she was from Dijon, not from Lisieux, but like she's very similar in spirituality as Saint Therese, and in fact we might even kind of compare them as sisters almost to each other, you know, spiritual sisters. But Blessed Elizabeth emphasizes this divine indwelling that we receive through grace, and that meditation really is an appreciation and an acceptance and a reflection on the divine indwelling. Through grace. And then a second blessed today is Blessed John Duns Scotus feast day today. He lived in 1266 to 1308, so he much earlier. But he's a Franciscan famous for his philosophy and his theology, and most especially he was the prime defender of Mary's Immaculate Conception.
You know, I thought I would do a little research on Blessed John Duns Scotus and maybe talk a little bit about him with you this morning, but I could not understand anything I was reading.
Yeah.
He was a super intellectual. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Or am I just dumb? Okay.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's one of the bright lights.
Someday I'm going to pull something that he read and spend
you know,
a lot of time reflecting on it.
Someone who has a great devotion to John Duns Scotus, and I think who can somewhat understand what Scotus is talking about, is Father Cyrus Haddad.
Okay. So someday we'll maybe have to have Father Cyrus Haddad on to explain some.
You know, I just got an update from one of our listeners that actually Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity is now a saint. She was canonized
when
in
was
October.
She canon? Oh.
2016. So.
How about that?
Yeah. So my news was a little old.
Wait, one can our listeners call in with updates? Is that a thing?
Well,
don't.
You know.
Because don't.
Only if we need them, you
Only
know.
If it's urgent. An urgent,
urgent
update.
One. So
okay.
Someone has a very great devotion to Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity.
All right. Well, then we thank you for the correction and we apologize for the mistake. Yeah. But. Okay, and then tell us about the gospel of the day, Father Adam.
So today's gospel is one of those parables of the stewards. You know, so the Lord often talks about these, uses this image, this parable of the dishonest steward. So in the version today, the steward is, of course, squandering his master's property and is caught forgiving the debtors, you know, what they owe to the master. And, of course, the steward, you know, knowing that, you know, he's going to get into trouble. Of course, one of my favorite lines is, "I am not strong enough to dig and I am ashamed to beg," you know, lest we remember. But there's a line that ends the gospel, which I think is very relevant to what we're talking about today, and that is, "Children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light." That for us, for the work of the new evangelization, for the work of evangelization, we need to learn lessons from those outside of the church, both our Christian brothers and sisters, but also even the people of this generation, of this culture, of the secular world, to learn their methods and perhaps how they're trying to address the needs of the human person.
Which is funny because that ties in, going back to that line, "I'm not strong enough to dig and I am ashamed to beg." I think sometimes within the church we feel like the last place we want to look for innovative ideas and for it is outside of the church. And it's generally a pride thing. It's generally a elevated status.
Yeah.
You know,
but... Well, they told us in homiletics class to always beg, borrow, and steal.
Well,
you know, like,
wow, but not, they didn't,
you know,
teach you,
like,
how to plumb.
Just... No.
Or fix the roof. Okay.
Take what you can and use it. And
all right. Well, we are going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jenna Zins, who's the events coordinator for the Diocesan Office of Development. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. Don't go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
St. Andrew Parish is hosting a women's retreat November 15th through the 17th at St. Teresa's Retreat Center, 5277 East Broad Street in Columbus. The theme is God's Got This, Finding Inner Peace with Christ. It's facilitated by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, a Dominican priest from St. Patrick's in Columbus. The cost is $135. For more information, visit the website standrewparish.cc. Holiday craft bazaars this weekend include St. Matthew's Hometown Bazaar from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at St. Matthew the Apostle Catholic School, 795 Havens Corners Road in Gahanna. Also, the Sacred Hearts Holiday Bazaar from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Handlebar Ranch, 6695 County Road 76 in Mount Gilead, Ohio. And the St. John Newman Women's Club Bazaar from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. The church is located at 9633 East State Route 37 in Sunbury. For St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, I'm Chip Stalter.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why can't I follow my own conscience? You can, if it's properly formed. If you were trying to win a top-secret cross-country road race with a prize of over $100 million, you'd want to make sure that your GPS was right. Getting to heaven is actually even more important. That's why you need to make sure that your moral GPS, your conscience, is pointing you in the right direction. How do we make sure that our consciences are formed in truth and not in personal biases or societal error? After all, when John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln, his conscience told him he was liberating his country from a tyrant. The answer is actually pretty simple. Listen to the Catholic Church. After all, Christ founded it to get us to heaven. So the Church got her teachings from God Himself, has never changed them, and has spent 2,000 years explaining and clarifying them for us. How long have you been working on yours? For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Striving is often a good thing. For example, we can strive to be charitable to others, to practice good self-care, and to pray daily. Striving for holiness is also a good thing when we allow God to lead us. But when we try to do it on our own, striving can cause angst instead of peace and joy. Even the flame of a strong prayer life can be dampened by too much striving. St. John Paul II said, "Ours is a time of continual movement, which often leads to restlessness, with the risk of doing for the sake of doing. We must resist the temptation by trying to be before trying to do. Dearest Jesus, help us to slow down and grow comfortable with resting instead of always doing, so that we may experience the peace and joy that only comes from you. Amen.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam.
Good morning.
Yeah, we just had a little break, and during the break, we got all kinds of inquiries from our listeners. You people are really responding today. This inquiry is about Father Droll's social media. So I mentioned that everyone should follow him on Twitter, and someone called and said, I don't know how to do that. So here's what you need to know. Father Nick Droll, he also has a Facebook account. He also has an Instagram account. If you're not on Twitter, you can literally just Google Twitter. His Twitter address is at Rev Nick Droll. If you want to download a Twitter app, you can do that. Download an Instagram app, you can do that. Download the Facebook app, you can do that. Or you can just Google Father Nick Droll. That's how I found him when I was stalking him. So there you go.
Wonderful.
We're like promoting Father Droll today. That's our show. Okay.
You know, good thing he's not charging.
Unless we could get some kickbacks.
That would be good. That would be.
We'll talk about that, Father Droll.
So, Katie, to kind of segue into our next interview, let's reflect a little bit on the Sunday Gospel, which really has set the tone for our theme today. So the Gospel for this Sunday, the Sadducees approach Christ. Of course, the Sadducees are those, the Jewish group that does not believe in the final resurrection and the resurrection of the body.
Why they were so sad, you see?
Yes, yeah.
Someone call in about that.
That's great. Pun intended, I presume. The Sadducees, you know, ask him, of course, this question about, you know, a woman who's had all of these different husbands, who will be her husband in the resurrection? And of course, Jesus says that, you know, after the resurrection, we don't marry or anything like that, you know. And that the point is that the Sadducees were trying to, you know, it was impossible for them to see the newness which Christ was presenting. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, is to look at the newness which Christ is offering, not just in, you know, the hope and the resurrection, not just kind of transcending our culture, but that even in the course of our life, the Lord has something new for us, and something unexpected, and to be open to that newness and that unexpectedness. And that really is the heart of discipleship. Receiving these gifts, these new gifts which the Lord gives us, but also I think in being missionary disciples and evangelizing, we have to be open to this radical newness that the Lord is often inviting us to. So with us is someone who I think is into radical newness.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
If not, she will be.
At least for the purposes of the next 10 minutes.
The last month of my life
has been radical newness, so
that's
sure.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. So I was working for a parish. I was working for St. Matthew, the Apostle Catholic Parish in Gahanna, Ohio, for 6 years. And it was a great gift and a great blessing. But through a lot of prayer and discernment, it became clear to me that the Lord was moving me on, I think, to use my strengths in a new way, and just to develop my skill set even further. And so I've been working for the Diocesan Office of Development and Planning for the last month. Actually, I started October 9th, so tomorrow's technically my 1 month anniversary.
Wow.
I know, right?
Are they throwing a big party for you?
Yes.
Okay.
A cake party?
Yes.
So quickly, Development Office, if you're listening, you better have something ready to go when Jenna gets to work this morning.
Yes, that would be amazing. Thank you. I actually have to sit in a training all day. It's going to be great.
Oh, okay.
I know, right? So it's been
really
exciting.
It's a training. Maybe it's a surprise
party.
That's
true.
What does the development office do? Like, what are they, when we use this word development, what does it mean?
Yeah, so development and planning, I like to think of it that our role is basically to make things possible, to help make things possible on the parish level. So what we do is kind of assess and help pastors and finance councils and parishioners, parish councils, make the best use of their resources. So understanding time, talent, and treasure across the board at the parish level, we want to help you develop that. So in some sense, it's teaching parishes stewardship and helping different councils, different pastors understand that model of receiving gifts from the Lord and then using them well. But then we can do bigger things too. So capital campaigns and feasibility studies and fundraising. And then what we do kind of as an arm of the bishop on his behalf is run the big bishop's annual appeal campaign for him each spring. And again, our role is to help make all dreams possible. That's all we want to do, really, is to kind of pray about what the Lord is about and then see what we can do to bring that to fruition. So it's pretty exciting.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, it's not new, but the hashtag I give Catholic.
Yes.
it's a yearly campaign now, isn't it?
It is. Do you know what's most fascinating about I Give Catholic? It is the most obvious example of being in the world but not of the world. So we're used to socially around Thanksgiving, there are a lot of events going on, right? We have Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, where everybody storms the malls and the stores to shop. You have Small Business Saturday, where you're supposed to go into your local community and find people who are just working really hard, owning their own small business, and shop with them. And then comes Cyber Monday, where you do all your internet shopping. And so what's been instituted, I think, just culturally, is this Giving Tuesday. And so once you've thrown your first fruits, all your money,
Do
you know what
Tuesday
I mean?
Be before all of that?
I suppose that's your time with family on Thursday.
Okay.
Counts as giving as well. It seems to me. So
give what's left.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Giving Tuesday comes around, and I think there is, honestly, I think most people want to give. Most people want to help the less fortunate. Most people want to aid a good cause. And a lot of people aren't able or willing to give time or to give their skills.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the way our lives are structured these days, most of us are so busy. And so joining any mission, a lot of people can only do financially. So Giving Tuesday is actually a super cool event. And I think with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some really smart and focused people came up with this campaign for I Give Catholic.
Yeah.
And actually last year, over 50% of all the monies donated to religious causes on Giving Tuesday went through I Give Catholic.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I think when I think about it, what I'd like to encourage people to do is be brave enough to evangelize through I Give Catholic. So when you go to the website on December 3rd, so Giving Tuesday is December 3rd this year, and you just go to igivecatholic.org, and you can search different states and you'll find the Diocese of Columbus on a map. And once you give, let people know that you are giving. Let people know that you're proud to be Catholic. And there are amazing things happening on behalf of the most unfortunate and the poorest souls and the poorest people. I think that's something that's missed these days, is the church can get a bad rap based on some horrific things done by individuals, based on just some general, contempt for certain priests or, you know, any Catholic that you've had a bad experience with. But I think it's time for us to reclaim that being Catholic is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that Catholics do is really, really incredible. And we are blessed to be a part of it. So hopefully you'll hear some ads on St. Gabriel Radio for the rest of this month, encouraging you to give Catholic. And I think it's a great tool for evangelization.
Okay, so I need to back up.
Please,
just a second.
Yeah. I talk really fast.
No. So I Give Catholic is a national initiative. Is it?
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not a diocesan program. It's a national.
It is.
And is it, I Give Catholic is its own entity, its own organization?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we as a diocese have plugged in.
Yes. So
okay.
It started in New Orleans with the diocese down there to raise funds after one of the hurricanes. And it just exploded. They got millions of dollars. So we're kind of still in the infancy of bringing it to our diocese here. But there's great potential. It really. So
yeah.
When you go to I Give Catholic, you go to the diocesan website, you'll see all the parishes and schools, a lot of different organizations. So you have to search a little bit to find your favorite to make sure that they get your money. But
so there are lots of options, lots of opportunities.
Absolutely.
And a very easy process to get there.
Yes.
It's just an online process.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
It's exciting.
Jenizens, we are so happy you joined us this morning.
Yes.
Thank you. Filled us in and told us what you're doing. We're blessed to have you in our diocese.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
that's very kind
if you don't know Jenna, find her, meet her. Don't stalk her.
Yeah,
I don't want to suggest that. Yeah, but
follow her on Twitter.
She's
well.
So joyful, such a beautiful
You'll
spirit.
Get 75 calls if you tell people to follow me on Twitter. They will find nothing.
Okay, you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have to take one more break, but we don't want you to go away because Father Adam and I both have some really cool plans coming up next week that we really want to tell you about. So don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to sarahcolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, Columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? Children like to ask why questions all the time. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Have you ever thought of asking, God, why did you create me? We first need to understand who God is to better understand why he made us. God is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a great mystery, but what we know is that they live in eternal exchange of love. Simply put, God is love. So why did God create us? He created us out of love so we could share in this love. What an amazing gift, calling the world to existence from nothing, just for the love of you and me. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We just had the blessing and pleasure of talking to Jenna Zins, the events coordinator for the Diocesan Office of Development, and she was sharing with us about the giving initiative, I Give Catholic. So make sure you look into that. Just Google I Give Catholic or go to igivecatholic.org and you can participate in Giving Tuesday. And you can do that in a local way, right?
Yeah.
That was, So, okay, we do not have a show next week because, tell them why, Father Adam.
Well, Katie left, is leaving on to go on a trip. And so I was like, well, I can't handle this alone. Oh, so I just decided to leave too.
No.
Both of us will be world travelers. I am going on a pilgrimage with a friend of mine. We're going first to Fatima to see the Shrine of Our Lady there.
Have you been to Fatima yet?
I have not been, no. I haven't been to Portugal, so. And then, after that, we're going to Poland to visit the sites associated with St. John Paul II. So,
are you going to do all the Divine Mercy sites? Are you going to do St. Faustina and Maximilian
no,
Kolbe
just,
and
just JP2? We're going to be around Krakow and then go to John Paul's hometown, Wadowice. And then we're going to Częstochowa, which is the Shrine of Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully we're going to make it to Auschwitz, which is, of course, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred.
I heard that that Poland is the most Catholic country in Europe these days.
It is very, very, very Catholic.
Yeah, I haven't been yet. Well, that's pretty exciting.
Even though it was the communists ran it for, a while, the faith survived, And then, of course, with John Paul II, it really, I think, under
it revived and
it's flourished. It's very, the church is very healthy there, to the point where they're sending out, you know, missionaries.
Yes.
Still throughout the world. So.
Well, and then tomorrow I leave for Israel, for the Holy Land. I get to go with Father Ramon O'Wara. He's at Holy Rosary St. John. He's been at St. Elizabeth. He's kind of been all over the place. And he's taking a group, and he's going with the company I work for, Jerusalem Tours, so I get to go with them.
There's another promo.
Hey, if you're going to the Holy Land,
yeah.
I mean, when you go with Jerusalem Tours, doesn't that make sense, right? So that's who I'm going with. But, I'm very excited, very excited.
So we won't have a show next Friday.
No show next
Friday.
But
we'll be back the 22nd.
We will be, with a really good lineup on the 22nd. Should we tell them who's coming on the 22nd? So our priest of the week on the 22nd is Father Tom Gardner. No, Father Brett Garland.
Father Brett Garland.
Sorry. Well, their names are very similar, and then Father Tom Gardner is later in the month. But yes, and our guest is Father Lou Iacello from the Josephine.
OFM.
OFM and Admiral in the Navy.
Yeah.
What? I'm so excited to talk to him. Okay. I saw something in the Catholic Times that I need you to clarify for me, Father Adam. Okay. Confirming the appointment of the superior delegate of the missionary servants. Bob. Anyway, it's a lot of words, so I'll give you the short version. Father Alberto Basabi is administrator at St. Stephen the Martyr, and Father
Wojciech
Stachura, Polish name.
Yeah.
Okay. In residence at Sacred Heart.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me what's going on.
Father Wojciech is a priest of the Palatine Order. Mm-hmm. So the order is looking to settling here in the Diocese of Columbus. So Father Wojciech is living at Sacred Heart and kind of helping out around the diocese and kind of getting a sense of the place and where his order can settle down permanently.
But Sacred Heart is your parish.
I don't own it personally, but no, it is.
Wait,
am the administrator.
I'm
the administrator of it. Yeah,
but you don't live there.
I don't live there. I live at the cathedral.
But he will be there in residence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So will he be helping at masses and such? I assume
he's going to help at Sacred Heart. I think he's going to help at a couple other places. Father Vince Nguyen on the south side of Columbus has quite a load on his shoulders there, St. Mary's and then St. Ladislaus in Corpus. So I would imagine there might be some assistance given there.
Oh, I bet Father Nguyen is excited about that. Yeah. And then Father Alberto Basabi?
Yeah, at St. Stephen's.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And he'll be the administrator.
Yes.
Well, look at that. Talk about innovative. Talk about innovative ways to deal with some shortages and some coverage and that sort of thing. Monday is Veterans Day.
Yes.
Yes. And there was a great article in the Times about many, many Catholic veterans in our diocese. I strongly recommend everybody take a look at that. I always love when I see veterans or people in the who have served in the military wearing their hats indicating their branch of service. I always make a point to tell them thank you. That blows my mind that people give their lives in that way in service to their country. So Veterans Day.
A couple other great happenings. Of course, the Sacred Heart Congress at St. Michael's is November the 16th.
With all the big names, including our very own Bill Messerly from St. Gabriel Radio, who is actually sitting here with us right now. I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness. But yes, Sacred Heart Congress on the 16th, next Saturday.
7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. again, St. Michael's Church in Worthington.
And here's the little fun fact. DeSales Girls for Division I and Newark Catholic Girls for Division IV are both headed to the Nutter Center in Dayton tomorrow for the state Final Four matches in volleyball.
It's today. Today.
Did another caller just call to tell us?
We need to offer special prayers for them. Our final prayer will be especially, I can't show any favoritism, but of course, you know I taught at Newark Catholic, so I have a certain fondness for the Green Wave.
Well, how about this? Newark Catholic is your favorite Division IV girls volleyball team. And DeSales is your favorite Division
One. We might be able to do that.
Yeah. Can you find room for that in your heart?
I think so.
Okay. And in one
tiny little minute we have left, I want to share a story that I call How to Become a Saint, which I saw at the Catholic News Service. 19-year-old Nicholas Peters of San Carlos, California, found out that he had 6 months to live, liver cancer. He spent his 6 months immersing himself in service to the poor and homeless.
Awesome.
Beautiful story.
Well, let us end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen.
Amen.
And for my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.